the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, welcome to Belmont. My name's Clive Hughes, and I'm one of the staff here at Belmont. And we'll be looking together, continuing our series, looking at prayer. Can I just draw your attention, though, before we start? If you're visiting us today and would like to know a bit more about who we are and what goes on here, then in your Bibles in front of you, there's a yellow welcome card. Just fill that in, pop it on the desk as you go out, or give it to somebody who looks like they might know what they're doing, and they will make sure it gets back to the office and somebody will get in touch with you. So we're looking at 5 weeks at prayer. Now, I think talking about prayer is probably one of the things I find most challenging, because actually I know my own prayer life doesn't always measure up very often to what the Bible talks about. So I'm feeling slightly sort of apprehensive, I guess, about talking about this. Also slightly apprehensive because they say your worst critics are your children. Well, on the sound desk today is my son. So if it gets very dull, he'll be switching off the button, I suspect. Prayer. I knew you would do that. Prayer is a difficult thing for us all to talk about, isn't it? Sometimes as Christians we can feel guilty about praying, about how little we pray, about how our prayers are, about how we don't always feel passionate about prayer. And this series is designed to help us think about what to pray about. Back in the spring, we thought about how to pray. We thought about the mechanics of praying. We listened to people who prayed together. We listened to people who prayed on their own. We listened to people who were praying as a whole church. What do we do as a whole church? How do we do that? Sorry, that's a year January ago. Doesn't time fly? When we looked at how to pray, this series we're looking at what to pray. And we're going to look at a series of prayers from the Bible. Last week, Ruth Flanagan started us off with looking at the Lord's Prayer. And she reminded us that the Lord's Prayer helps us to gain God's perspective, enjoy God's privileges, and have access to God's power as we live his way day by day. The Lord's Prayer is often quite a personal prayer, isn't it? We think of it about our daily bread, forgive us our sins. And today we're going to look at something maybe slightly broader as we think about praying for others and other churches. One of the best ways to learn to pray is to imitate other people, to imitate others. It's true in all sorts of areas of life, isn't it? When we copy other people, we learn to be like someone who's run ahead of us, someone who's taken the course before us. And that's why we're looking at these prayers in the Bible, because there's some prayers written down here that help us to understand maybe a bit more about how we could be praying. So would you turn with me to the section of the Bible we're going to look at? In the green Bibles in front of you, it's on page 1122, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Page 1122. This is one of the earliest letters that Paul wrote, and he wrote it to a church in Thessalonica, a church that he'd set up. And we're in the middle of a bit of a discussion about almost like movements of people around the Mediterranean. Timothy comes and goes and so on. But we're going to pick it up at verse 6. Our main focus today will be verses 11 to 13, but we're going to start at verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you have always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. The prayer there starts with verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself. And that's going to be the focus of what we look at. But just by background, as I've said, the church in Thessalonica was established by Paul maybe 1 or 2 years earlier. And Paul had to leave because there'd been significant opposition. He'd been chased out of town and it wasn't safe for him to go back. Fortunately, he had his friend Timothy who'd come to visit him in Athens, which is where he'd moved on to. And after some thought and consideration, they sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. Nothing like sending a friend back into a troubled situation, is there? He sent Timothy back and said, "What's going on there? Find out more about the church and bring back news to me." And that's what we have here. Timothy has come back and brought back this fantastic report of a church that is growing in the face of persecution. A church that has demonstrated faith and love, but is still a very young church. This new community of God's believers needs to grow. When someone becomes a Christian, they become part of a new family. But when they're all children together, they need to be nurtured and grown up. We're related to each other in church, in community. And so Paul, in Athens, is able to pray for the Thessalonians in Thessalonica to see them grow in Christ. The interaction of the body of Christ from one place to another. And that's why when we send the prayer planes around today, we are praying for people who are part of our family. They're not just other churches and other buildings. Those are people who worship the same God, serve the same God, love the same Lord Jesus, experience the same salvation. And together we pray for each other. We pray to build up the body of Christ. We pray so that we may know more of God amongst us. But, and I ask this of myself, what should I pray? You've got on your notes maybe some prompts, some ideas. But what do I pray? What do I pray when somebody says, please pray for Silverton Church. Please pray for Broadcliffe Baptist. What should I pray? What should I pray about? Does it make a difference? Does it matter? Well, let's look at these three verses. Just quickly skip through them and take up some quick thoughts from Paul about what we could pray. Firstly, Paul prays. He prays because he loves people. So before we get into the what of praying, let's think about the why of praying. Paul prays, as he says in this passage here, about love overflowing, just as our love overflows for you, verse 12. And he refers to it back in verse 17 of chapter 2. Brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, he saw his relationship with his church like a family relationship. He loved this church in a family way. He was part of this family. And so he loved them dearly. And his prayers were like prayers for a family. Paul's passion was for God's work amongst the family of God. He wanted to see them grow, mature as children becoming adults, to learn more about God. When we love somebody that deeply, we pray for them. When we know people, we pray for them. Maybe some of the names you've received on your pieces of paper are just cold names to you. Can I suggest you look it up on the web when you go back? Maybe you think about somebody you know who goes to one of those churches. Maybe you even drive past it and find out where that church is located, if it's a local Exeter church that you've got on that piece of paper. What could you find out about that person, that church, that situation, so that you could pray in a more informed and heartfelt, love, passion-driven way? Paul's prayers were because he loves people. Prayer is not a duty. It's not like going to Sainsbury's with a shopping list. It's about loving other people. I've been privileged to be involved in our Christianity discussion group on a Tuesday night. Meets out there in the concourse, and there's a team of folk involved in it. Ruth Flanagan, who spoke last week, Luke Mounts, you might know, Rachel Brandy-Smith, Michaela, Catherine, an army of cooks. Thank you very much for the lovely food, those who cook for us, to make the evening a great evening. Several people in those evenings have become Christians. Several people are asking questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing who they are, finding out about it, has spurred me on to pray for them because I'm involved in their lives, because I know something about them. So firstly, as we come to prayer, maybe we need to think about what's our passion? What are we passionate about? Is it people in other churches? Is it our workplace and God speaking to people through our work and our workplaces? Is it our neighbourhoods? Is it our schools? Whatever it is, are we passionate about that and seeing God's word come alive there? If it is that passion, then why not pray about it? Pray about those situations. Pray about those opportunities because we love those people. Gather news. Gather information so you can pray in an informed way. In the same way that Paul sent Timothy to find out news. Gather news to pray. So secondly, what does Paul pray about? We've heard why he prays. He prays because he loves them and not because of duty. Secondly, he prays about current concerns. Look at it there in verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Currently, he couldn't get to Thessalonica. He couldn't get there. He was praying about practical, real things. Pray that God would level the way, make the path straight, make it easy so that he could get there. And he wants to do that not just because he missed his friends, but so that, as it said in verse 10, they could supply what is lacking in their faith. They could help them grow up as disciples. They come together, good outcomes, so that people may grow in Christ and may know more about him. It's good, isn't it, to pray about the day-to-day realities of life, the practical things of work, travel plans, meetings, home circumstances. It's good to share those things with the Lord Jesus, to pray for each other in those situations. But I dare to suggest they are means to an end. They are means to an end that we may grow up in Christ, that we may see Jesus more in our workplaces, in our homes and in our communities, not just for a comfortable life, a level way, a smooth path, but we pray for each other so that we may see our faith growing and the body of Christ growing up. Paul is praying for current concerns. He doesn't get rid of them. He doesn't say they're not important. They are important, but they take us towards knowing more of the Lord Jesus Christ, that people will be strong in their faith. And by the way, Paul is persistent in his prayers. Although it's only written once here, it was 5 years before he got to Thessalonica. Only 300 miles away, 300 miles north of where he was in Corinth at the time when he wrote the letter, but 5 years later before he got there. So do persist in praying. And next, what else does Paul pray about? Well, Paul prays about loving relationships. Sometimes when I'm thinking through things and working through things, I can be a bit stereotypically masculine. Fix that, done that, let's move on to the next thing. And forget about the relationships. I've prayed about that, job done. Forget about all that needs to be done around it. I've got that, ticks off my to-do list, and that's it. But Paul isn't just concerned about getting there to these people and teaching them. He's actually concerned about the relationships between them now. He's concerned that they would have loving relationships in the church. And so he prays, as it says in verse 12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. You see those two parts of it? Your love for each other in the church and your love may overflow to people who are outside of the body currently. What sort of love is that that he's praying for? Well, he prays the words of Jesus. Jesus says in John 13, love one another as I have loved you. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples. He's praying for them, the words of Jesus. If you're ever struggling what to pray for a church, a good top tip, have a look at the words of Jesus and pray those things for people across the world. Paul does it, and that's not a bad example, is it? The love that Jesus showed is self-giving, humble, generous, not retaliating. A love we're going to celebrate and remember as we take communion together. Pray for that love amongst other people. Sometimes our prayer letters and our prayer requests can be such a shopping list of things, can't they? But let's pray for love amongst the believers. And so that love would overflow and others would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because of it. Maybe you know a church intimately. Maybe you have a connection with another church, another group of believers. Pray for them in that way, that their community not only would be active and thriving in what it does, but would demonstrate the love of Jesus, and that love would overflow. So we pray because of love. We pray about current concerns. We pray about loving relationships. And thirdly, we pray about a future hope. Verse 13, Paul prays this: may the Lord strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul prays for their character to be strengthened, not just so they're good people, but so they'll be ready for when the Lord Jesus comes back at the end of time. His prayer is not only based in the current time now, with current circumstances and current concerns, but it is concerned for the future. Jesus is coming back, he says. Live and be aware of it. Let's pray that we see character shaped in our lives with that in mind. Once we forget that future thing, that's what Paul's saying. If we forget that, we forget to be shaped by it. Life is as it is now. There's no end to it. But Paul is saying there will be an end. There will be a moment when Jesus will come back. May God strengthen our hearts so that we will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father when Jesus comes. When he comes back with the angels, with the saints who've run before us, with the ones who've gone to see Jesus already. He prays that their faith in Thessalonica will grow and grow and grow. That they will persevere in following Jesus. That they will be strong. That they will be blameless and holy. They will live holy lives. Lives which bless other people. Strong, full-blooded discipleship. So three things to pray about. They may not sound very specific, but I think they can be turned into any situation and to help us pray. We pray because we love. We pray about current concerns. We pray about loving relationships, because through that, people are won to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray about a future hope, because in so doing, our lives are shaped by the coming Lord Jesus. Now, it would seem a bit strange, wouldn't it, to talk about prayer and not do it? So I've asked two people who I know have strong links with people, churches across the world, to pray, to lead us in some prayers before we come to communion. Pam Cousins is going to lead us praying for Judith and Eglon Harris, who are serving in Mexico. And then following that, Fran Scott is going to pray for the Molo project, where she led a team last summer to go and visit. So should we pray together? And Pam's going to lead us.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of Eglon and Judith over more than 40 years, serving you and promoting the gospel in Mexico. We pray for Eglon with his extensive preaching and teaching responsibilities and the writing he does for their magazine and the Sunday school and other teaching materials that go out to every quarter all over South America. May your Holy Spirit continue to inspire him as he helps and encourages others through this ministry. And we thank you too, Lord, for Judith's support for Eglon, for her involvement with their church's women's meeting. Please help her as she checks the manuscripts and as she does most of the driving to the many places they visit, especially when it involves going over the mountains. We pray, Lord, that you'll keep them both well and able to fulfill all their engagements without getting too tired. Strengthen their hearts and encourage them, we pray. Please assure them of your continued help and blessing for the glory of your name. Amen.
I'd like to give you a little bit of background about the projects in Molo that we're going to pray for. The Molo team meet regularly and share news and pray for the people that we were involved with last summer in Kenya, in Molo. And I know it's an enormous encouragement and thrill for them to know that the whole church today will be praying, and we'll make sure we tell them. And we thank God for email that lets us keep in constant communication. The three projects we're going to pray for, one is called the Molo Street Children's Project, and we're going to pray for Chris and Sonia Donnan. We stayed with them, and they have links with international teams who oversaw our trip. They run a centre which has a hostel for boys, and every day they provide food, education, school, clothes, counselling for maybe up to 100 street children, those children who are uncared for in Molo. And then we're going to pray for the Matamindi Rehabilitation Centre, which is a residential centre for children and young people with disabilities. And particularly we're going to pray for Florence. And if you've looked at your focus, there's a lot of news about Florence coming directly from her. She's the new centre director since January, and her salary has been supported by Belmont for the first year. She's got huge challenges, has huge vision. Unfortunately, she's a huge lady as well. And thirdly, we're going to pray for Pastor Paul and his Voice of God orphanage, which has 20 children. He visited Belmont last Christmas, and I think read in our Christmas service. He's really struggling with lack of finance. Most of it comes from church members who themselves don't have much. And he recently had a cow stolen, one of his three cows, and that's a significant loss for him. So shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we want your name to be praised throughout the earth and your kingdom of justice and mercy to be established everywhere, especially in Molo. We think of the older street boys in the street project who are disaffected, who have no prospect of work, no future. Please give them hope of a future with you. We pray for the young children who aren't cared for and ask you to fill the staff there with your love so that they can show these children that they are loved by their Father in heaven. We pray for the disabled young people that they would be able to realize their God-given potential and to be released from darkness into light and to know hope. We pray for Florence, the center director, who's facing an enormous challenge. Please give her strength to continue, protection from discouragement, and something she especially wants, a home of her own to relax in. And finally, we pray for Pastor Paul, for financial resources to be able to run his orphanage, for people with the right skills to partner him in running the church and the orphanage, and for protection of the few resources that they do have. Our Father, may your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth just as it is in heaven. Amen.
Teach us to pray, the disciples asked back in Luke when Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer. And this week in the School of Prayer, as we're learning about it, we learn from Paul why to pray and what to pray. In another letter, Paul writes this. He prays so that people might be like this. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We pray for each other to see that growing up in Christ, we do our part.